So many people have mentioned the fact that I was going to speak this evening. I'm not going to speak very long. Paul asked me if I would just kind of draw the ends together and tie them together for you in order that you might take a real package home with you. There has been one thought that has been running through my mind all day long, and I was very interested. Not only did John emphasize it in his first song, but also you have sung it. To God be the glory. Great things hath he done. Somebody said, I'm only a pipe through which the water of life can flow. It has to be empty. It has to be clean. But that's all we are, just an empty pipe through which the water of life can flow. There's another thought also in connection with the word that I had for you tonight, and I'll be reading a couple of verses of Scripture in just a moment. But so many of you have said, I want to praise the Lord even for the trials, for the times of difficulty, for the problems that have arisen. I think we have attained some real spiritual maturity when we can say, thank you, Lord, even for the trials, even for the things that I do not understand, for the circumstances of life that may seem to be just a little bit difficult. For I believe that God has a plan that is absolutely perfect. The only reason that he cannot work out every single detail in our lives all the way through is because of our resistance. But even then, he still is going to take it and turn it around and use it for his glory. Therefore, there isn't anything but what is in the hands of the Lord, and he's going to work it out for his glory. The 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The other verse is found in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's not only God's will for us to give thanks as you have been doing tonight, but it's God's will that we give thanks for every little detail that comes into our lives. Those things that people say to us that sometimes hurt, those things that people do against us when they're unfounded and when they're unnecessary, those circumstances that press in upon us that we cannot understand, all of these are in the hands of our God. Mrs. Cowan, the missionary, the great missionary to China, she and her husband, who had to return to the state of California because of his ill health, and in spite of all that medical doctors could do, all that medical science could do, in spite of all of the prayers of God's people, and they believe very firmly in the power of God to heal the body in answer to believing prayer, in spite of all of that, he continued to be a semi-invalid and finally passed away. Mrs. Cowan has written that book, Streams in the Valley and Springs, or Streams in the Desert and Springs in the Valley. Also the one consolation. She has a little booklet that I got a hold of a number of years ago. The title of it was Praise Changes Things. Praise Changes Things. Now we're familiar with that expression. Prayer changes things. But this one had the thought of praise changes things. In other words, as God's people begin to praise him, it seems as though we untie his hands and make it possible for him to work in a way that he could not possibly work unless we had come to that place where we were able to say, "Praise you, Lord." Now, you can't put anything on with God. There's no use of us putting on a front or putting on a sham or putting on an outward shell. You see, the Lord knows what's in our hearts. He knows when we're saying, "We'll give him all the glory." But he knows when we're trying to take a little bit of the glory to ourselves, and that we want a little share in that glory. Therefore, God has to deal deeply with each and every one of us. This is the only way in which he can make us mature, lead us on to that place where we'll be the kind of Christians that we ought to be. I wonder if you know or have ever stopped to think of what it means to give glory to God. Oh, you say, "Yes, I believe that I have." Really, do we know what it means to glorify God? To glorify God, a definition that has always meant a great deal to me, to glorify God means to make him attractive. To cause other people to appreciate him and love him. If we are praising God and giving him the glory, then there is no room for depression. There is no room for frustration. There is no reason for us to be down in the dumps and looking at the circumstances and saying, "Oh God, why did you allow this to happen in my life?" But rather, there is going to be the joy of the Lord, the joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. When we're praising the Lord, not only are we giving him the glory, but also we are finding that our own spirits are going to be lifted. You remember the story of the Apostle Paul, or rather Saul of Tarsus, when the evil spirits seemed to come in upon him. And we won't go into detail on that tonight. But he would have David come in and play with his harp. And as he played the songs of Zion and the praises of the Lord, there came real relief to King Saul. And I believe that the same thing is true in the lives of God's children, that when they begin to praise the Lord, somehow or other, Satan is defeated. He's caused to flee because he doesn't want God's people to praise him. He doesn't want God's people to have the joy of the Lord, that joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And yet, when we have the joy of the Lord and are praising him, that's when we're the greatest testimony to those that are round about us. You know, people are watching for reality today. We've gone through a period of time when we had the God is dead theory. We've gone through a period of time when people have said there is nothing to this matter of religion at all. And people have tried everything else and they're not satisfied. They're looking for something that will satisfy the deepest longings of their heart. They're looking for something that will cause their hearts to be content and at peace. And if we can manifest to them the joy of the Lord, even in the midst of a world that is filled with sin and hatred and bitterness, people are going to say, "That person has something real." I think most of you realize, because I understand that our son has talked a good deal about this, I think you realize that for a number of years, I've been a chaplain in several nursing homes up there in Yakima, a nonprofit organization. A lady said to me one day, Mr. Steele, have you ever called on this lady by the name of Mrs. Riedenburg? For some reason or other, the nurses hadn't told me about her. And she was in an area of the nursing home where we have those that are a little more confused. Well, I said, no, I didn't even know that she was here. I don't know how it got overlooked, but anyway, it did. But I went in to see her, and I found her in bed. And I thought, well, it's just as I expected. She's very confused and very ill. I'll go in and see her once in a while and have prayer with her. But the next day, lo and behold, she was sitting up. And the lady that told me about her said she used to belong to a certain church here in town where I taught Sunday school for a number of years. But she's gotten entangled in unity. Well, you don't argue with people in a place like that. You don't reason with them in the same way that you do when people are on the outside, as far as that's concerned. But I continued to go to and see her, and I gave her an invitation to come to the chapel service. She says, I can't come today, but if you come after me tomorrow, I will come. She has been coming most of the time since that period. Now, the other day, somebody said, did you know that her grandson was very, very seriously ill as the result of being thrown from a horse and landing on his head? I went in to talk with her and to pray with her, and in that very quiet way, she said, Mr. Steele, I don't know, but I think I've drifted a long ways away from the Lord. She said, somehow or other, when you pray, the Lord seems so real and so precious to you. Well, it was just the opening that I need. And I began to talk to her about how the Lord could be real and precious unto her. I don't know how much progress that she's made, but I knew that she saw something that has caused her to search her own heart deeply and to reach out to God in a way that she hasn't for some 15 years. When we're praising the Lord, we can't be in a wrong relationship with one another. Isn't it strange how that in the home, in the church home, in the school, in the community, there can be that little spirit of bitterness and that little spirit of resentment that will eat away and eat away like cancer, and you wonder why your life is not overflowing? You wonder why your home is not what it ought to be? You wonder why your whole outlook on life seems to be so black and so uncertain? I've come in contact with it so many, many times during the years of my ministry. You can't praise the Lord and have something in your heart. It has to go. This is the very thing that the Lord Jesus wants. This is the reason why he came into this world. He not only died to save you, but he died in order that he might give you the power of the Spirit of God, in order that you might be empowered so that you can have victory in that life of yours. And don't you forget it. It takes the power of God to remain sweet in your home. It takes the power of God to overcome those little things that are in the depths of the heart. You ladies know what it is. Well, you don't have spring here hardly, do you? But after a winter time up in Yakima, we have spring. And we do have a lot of sunshine in Yakima, even in the winter time, but in the springtime, the sun begins to shine in through those windows. And then you begin to see little places where there's some dirt that you never saw for a number of months. Even the wall that you thought was really quite clean now is beginning to look a little bit grimy, and you say, I'm going to have to house clean. I'm going to have to get rid of that dirt. This is what the Spirit of God is able and willing to do. He digs down into the very depths of our heart to show us that little thing that is a real hindrance there to the full flow of life in our lives. And then people say, why am I so discontented? Why am I so disagreeable? Why is it that there's so little in the way of joy that comes into my heart? Well, beloved, nobody can tell you. This is something between you and Almighty God. And then I would like to say, if you start praising the Lord, you're going to find that the Lord is going to begin to answer prayer in a way in which you haven't seen Him answer prayer before. Oh, I know there's a time to cry out to God. There's a time to bow low and humbly before Him. There's a time for real heart searching. But sometimes we just have to take our hands off and say, Lord, I'm just going to praise You. I'm going to praise You, and I'm going to leave it all in Your hands. Do you think that you've laid that particular situation down? That particular event that hurt you so deeply? Have you really laid it down before Almighty God? And has something happened so that the rivers of living water are flowing out through you to others that are round about? I know that your pastor has shared with you some of his own personal experiences, even along some of these lines, and I don't hesitate to use my own personal experiences either. The craft department in the nursing home is supposed to help with the chapel services, for I've had the responsibility for over 2 years now, nearly 3 years, of having two services every single day, 15, 20 minutes of message every day. In addition to that, like one man said, you're the first preacher that I've ever known that had to go out and gather in his congregation before he could preach to them. For in the heavy care facility, practically all that come have to be brought in wheelchairs. The state raised the standards and made it impossible for us to have a smaller building, and therefore we have long halls, and we have several of them. And they put the chapel clear at the very end of one of the halls, the furthest hall, because we had been bothered for years with a great deal of noise and interruption, so they were going to do me a favor by putting it clear over at the end of the halls. And we have to take them clear down there. Well, one day, the head of the craft department said, I want you to meet Shirley. Shirley was a big, tall, rather well-built lady. She was married. But she had a different kind of a background than the rest of us. In fact, she had been a Protestant, and then she went from the Protestant church into another church. And she still was very, very unsettled. And for some reason or other, she took a dislike to me. And I said good morning to her when I would meet her. And it got to the place where she would ignore me completely. She wouldn't even say good morning. Well, I can't work under circumstances like that, so I went to Shirley and I said, Shirley, did I do something that offended you? If so, I want to set it straight. Why, no, Mr. Steele, why do you say that? Well, I said, there's been morning after morning that I've said good morning and you've ignored me entirely. Oh, she said, I must have had my mind on something else. Well, what more are you going to say? But it continued through the weeks and through the months. Instead of getting better, it was getting worse, and she was doing less and less while I was trying to do more and more. And one day I went into my office. I said, Lord, I'm going to settle this once and for all. You're going to have to do something about this situation, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to lay it down. I've laid it down before, Lord, but there's still something that's hanging on. And as I was praying that morning in the office, suddenly the burden lifted. And there came real relief and real joy in my heart. And I went down the hall, I saw Shirley that morning, and I said, good morning, Shirley. And again, she kind of looked at me and grunted a little bit, but she didn't say good morning. But you know, somehow or other, it didn't bother me. And then the head of our craft department, about a week later, came to me and said, you know, I'm awfully concerned about Shirley. I said, what's wrong? She said, she's making it harder and harder for me all the time. She's undercutting me in every direction. And I'm afraid of her. I'm afraid of what she will do if we let her go. I'm afraid of what will happen to the nursing home and the reputation of the nursing home. I said, Kay, why hadn't you told me before? Oh, she said, I didn't want to bother you. I said, I wish you'd told me before. Is it all right if I talk to our administrator? She said, yes. I went to the administrator. He said, all right, Mr. Steele, we'll take care of it. He took her out of the craft department. He put her into what you would call a new department, where she was under the eagle eyes of the head nurse. She lasted exactly 3 days, and she resigned, and that's the last we've heard of her. When I got my own heart in tune with God and really got out of my heart everything that was there that was a hindrance, God began to undertake. You remember that time when the Lord Jesus sent the multitudes away. And he said to the disciples, get on the boat and go to the other side of the sea. And the disciples got in the boat, and the Lord Jesus went up into the mountain alone to pray. And there, as the night time came down upon the men, many of these men were hardened sailors in their past life. They were used to the extremes. They were used to the storms. They were used to a rugged life. But tonight, the old wind was blowing and it was contrary, and the more they rowed, the less they made any progress. And about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, they saw a form out there on the water. And they thought it was a ghost. And their hearts were filled with fear, hardened men that they were. The storm, the ghost. What's going to happen? Does it mean we're all going to die? When the voice of the Lord Jesus came and said, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter said, Lord, if it be thou bid me to walk on the water, and you know the story, how that he started to walk on the water and he saw the waves. And he went down and he said, Lord, save me. And the Lord Jesus reached out. And I know we criticize Peter because of his lack of faith. But he walked arm in arm with the Lord back to that boat. And when they got in that boat, the wind ceased. The storm was calmed. You and I are in the storm tonight. Many of you are going through times of uncertainty, times of trial, physical, emotional, mental, financial. You're going through the times of trial. But listen, beloved, because Jesus Christ is a person, we can have new experiences with him. I know that I get on dangerous ground when I talk like this. People say, a new experience with the Lord? Why, I just thought you had one experience when you're saved. Listen, as a person, you can have more than one experience with the Lord Jesus. Those disciples that night had an experience that they had never had before. They had a revelation of Jesus Christ such as they had never known in all of their life. No wonder those disciples went out to turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ and bring men and women a little closer unto our blessed Savior. May that be true with the people here at Valley Church as you continue to look not just to the pastor, not just to your board that's leading you, but to the living Christ. Lead on, O King Eternal. The day of March has come. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for this evening together, for the praises that have gone up, for the songs that have been sung, for the testimonies that have been given. May the word really sink into our heart, every part of it, to cause us to be the kind of people that we ought to be for Christ's sake. Amen.